his glory. For he is limitless.
Lee, I was a little late, but greetings and salutations, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome back to Pod Is War. Pod Is War is brought to you by the good folks at Chairshot Radio Network in conjunction with
TheChairShot.com. Always use your head.
And you should always use your head and appreciate the content that we provide day in and day out here at the Chair Shot. And the best way to appreciate that and make sure we keep doing it is by going to ProWrestlingTees.com/TheChairShot and picking up an official Chair Shot t-shirt. We've got something for everybody. We've got hashtag journalism, save tag team wrestling. If you don't care about the candidates this year, we got Plat Blast 2020. Throw some love towards our campaign. And many, many other great designs for the wrestling fan in your life, even if it just so happens to be you. Again, ProWrestlingTees.com/TheChairShot, TheChairShot.com. It's not just a website, folks. We're a movement. Anywho, I'm Christopher Platt. As always, I'm joined by my esteemed colleagues, and I use that term loosely, Andrew Belaz and the Commissioner PC Tunney. Gentlemen.
What's up? Yeah, esteemed is a little different, but Tunney, who got the money? How you doing? Because, you know, you've been like kind of sort of gone 2 weeks. Last week, getting into a run-in. You run in before that. I guess we can kind of forget about that because that didn't help. So how you been with your time away? Has it reinvigorated you? Have you come up with more clever quips? Anything to add? You know, has it changed the PC man?
I'm the same person you've always known and partially tolerated.
Ah, fuck. Okay, back to you, Chris.
And shout out to Big Dave from Attitude of Aggression and Bandwagon Nerds for filling in for a PC during those weeks where he was getting his Sid Vicious on. But did you learn nothing from Dave at all about how to moderate?
I try not to learn.
This is like, have you guys watched 2.5 Men?
Yes.
So did you guys ever see the episode where Berta, which was Charlie's maid, she went out of town and she was replaced by Esmeralda and she was just like the greatest maid ever. Yes. She made the beds, gave him haircuts, put the towels into little swans and stuff like that. And then Berta came back and it was like, oh, damn, I love Esmeralda, but, you know, we got history with Berta. That pretty much describes the last couple of weeks with
what,
Big Dave.
What was I supposed to learn? What was I supposed to learn?
How to moderate?
Oh, I didn't. Maybe you're unaware that we were nominated for Podcast Trio of the Year, so I thought I'd just keep chugging along.
Yeah, I didn't know that because, yes, I wasn't the only one on this podcast that was hyping that shit up. Yeah, okay, cool.
Well, I thought the way you talk about it, though, it sounded like it was you, Andrew, and Dave, like I was supposed to learn something. Like I didn't, like, completely edit, cut up, direct, produce all of that entire, you know, shit.
Yep, change the music. When we went to breaks, you gave us no breaks. Should I continue?
Listen, when directions don't get followed...
Go on.
That's it.
Well, okay, but we got
a lot to talk about. You've been on this show for 3 years. You know we have no direction. That is our direction.
No. Hold on. Because we got a lot to cover today, because there's been a lot of shit going on in the wrestling world.
We do a lot of talking anyway.
I think you're playing with fire here.
No. What exactly do you mean by direction?
This is what I wanted. This is a fiery PC. He's not quite as laid back and fuck it, you know, do whatever.
I got nowhere to be.
Did we not give you 10 to 15 seconds between topics to, you know, put in music and things that did we not do any of that? Is that what you're saying by directions?
Let's just say I did the best I could.
Wow.
You sound like an inner city kindergarten teacher. What the fuck are you saying, man?
I did the best with what I had to work with.
Not going there. Not going there.
To the inner city? You got problems with that? PC,
how could you? I would personally, besides all this bullshit that these two are trying to drum up over here, would like to thank Dave for taking care of the show and doing a great job. You know I love you, Big Dave. Shout out to Big Dave. And fuck you, Platt.
No, thank you. You're not my type, but I'm flattered. I really am. Not that there's anything wrong with that.
Okay, Jerry. You know?
I'll fuck me. I'd want to fuck me too about you, man. I'm handsome.
God. Here we are. Pot is war as usual again.
Yeah. This reminds me of that whole Jay and Silent Bob shtick where it's just at least Goodbye Horses isn't playing with Christian going, would you fuck me? I'd fuck me. And he, you know, he does the tuck in Venus de Milo kind of looking.
I'm just saying, man, if you were into dudes, man, you could do a lot worse than me.
Yeah, that's true.
So, wrestling.
I mean, Patton Oswalt always gave me those vibes. I mean, would you rather fuck me or Patton Oswalt? No disrespect to Patton, but come on, man.
How many times have you met Patton Oswalt?
Granted, he is successful, so there's that.
No, but where's this Patton Oswalt story? Like,
you hear that, Amber? Amber, that's your competition, Patton Oswalt.
She'll never sleep more sound ever in her life.
Oh, shit. You go ahead and do whatever you want, baby. I ain't worried.
Yeah, me and Spence about to get it in.
Oh, man, I can't even right now.
Shout out to Patton Oswalt, man. Just fuck with you, man. You are a funny Miller Farmer, man. I'm just talking shit.
Patton Oswalt. Like, Patton Oswalt fucking listens. That would be some shit right there.
Get a fucking tweet tomorrow.
Patton Oswalt retweeting this like, you motherfucker.
I don't even mind. I don't even mind the conversation. Just happy to be mentioned on the show, finally.
Big fan. Title. Big fan.
That's the title. Pot is War at Patton Oswalt.
That's a good possibility, actually.
That's not terrible, actually.
Yeah, it's the leader in the clubhouse. It is how we don't have anything else at this particular point in time.
I mean, we're like 15 minutes in. Come on, give us a couple more drinks and a couple more hours.
I mean, if you really need Dave back, I can message him.
Well, we love you, Tunny. Just like Charlie loved Berta on 2.5 Men. It wasn't the same without you. Shout out to Big Dave, though. He did a phenomenal job. But Tunny is Tunny. Come on, man. Tunny, we go back like spinal cords and car seats, man.
Berta is family. Can't get rid of family.
Yeah. It's spinal.
Oh, God.
Yeah. Now, yeah, call Dave.
Yeah. All right, let's take a break and get into topic number one.
Promotional consideration paid for by the following.
Sierra
Hotel, India, Echo, Lima, Delta, Shield. Hey folks, listen up. PC Tony here. Thanks to our new partnership with Angry Lemonade, you can save 10% on physical products and digital commissions using the promo code CHAIRSHOT. Head to angrylemonade.net to check out their amazing catalog of products and services. Use the promo code CHAIRSHOT to save 10%. That's angrylemonade.net. Pins, stickers, illustrations. angrylemonade.net.
This is my yard now.
Two birds, one stone. Go ahead, visit thechairshot.com, prowrestlingtees.com/thechairshot. But what better way to do a commercial and introduce the next topic? Honestly, Big Dave, shout out to him. He called it. He called it. We did the TriCast on Friday, the Friday of SummerSlam weekend, and the next day he messaged me and he said, I think it's Roman Reigns. And you guys seen that. You guys seen that screenshot, so shout out to him. But personally, Roman came back, and the first thing I could think about is, what are Andrew and Chris going to have to say about this?
A horse is a horse, of course, and nobody talks to a horse, of course, unless, of course, the name of that horse is the famous Mr. Ed. talking about is tea.
Mm-hmm. Peanut butter. Peanut butter and
Wilbur.
Peanut butter and fishing line, unfortunately, for that horse. Go ahead.
Wilbur. I mean, so, yeah, obviously, I popped hard to see Roman back. You know, thank you. Thank you for that. But, yeah, I popped hard just to see Roman back. It was good to see him after everything. And what do you guys think about this heel turn that everybody is purporting online? Because I'd be cool if it was a Roman heel turn, but I don't. I think Roman has always been a heel this whole time, and I think I've talked about these airwaves.
Okay, Paul. Paul, calm down.
Austin.
Calm down off that. You know, everybody's booed him, so you know, he's got to be a heel. Explain this to me before we pontificate further. No, but before we can go further on this, Bray was a heel because he was fucking with Braun and using Alexa against him. Braun shaved his head, joined the clan or something like that, and threw Alexa away to show he's a heel and he's different. How can somebody coming in and beating up a heel and another heel make them a heel?
Well, he actually joined Travis Bickle. Shout out to Martin Scorsese and Taxi Driver. Yes, thank you.
That's a good movie.
I agree with you. It is, man. I'm not
the Joker remake of Taxi Driver was good too.
Damn near beat for beat. Yeah, I got this one. If you need a heel and face, Bray and Braun are the heels, according to PC Tunney. Okay, cool. So one thing, I don't think he came back as a heel per se. I think he's always been a heel, but when he was beating up Braun and he said, "I made you," that's kind of heelish, even though he's absolutely correct. Because, you know, the best heels tell the truth.
Speak the truth.
And it just pisses people off because they're telling the truth.
Yeah. No, I mean, I get that. He's talking shit, but he's got a lot of history with Braun. Braun threw him off of a loading dock, tried to murder him multiple times. They had this whole I can kill you better than you can kill me kind of feud for a while, which did make Braun. And the only thing I can see is that they're steering really hard into that skid that before everything kind of came crashing into this weird COVID quarantine and the weird kind of lull he was in before that because, you know, the leukemia came back. But before all of the issues that happened around Roman and the world, everybody always popped when he beat the fuck out of somebody. And he comes in with that shirt, wreck everyone and leave, which that's regardless if you want to say it's just a parody off of fucking, you know, Stone Cold's, you know, raise hell and leave or whatever the hell. Who cares? It's a good concept. It works for him. He beat the fuck out of people. People were happy. People popped for a big, good looking Samoan sex machine motherfucker beating the shit out of two guys.
There you go.
I had to get that in there. So the only thing I don't like about this is just shoehorning him into the rematch, quote unquote, and making it a triple threat at Payback. I'm like, why? Like, you could have turned this into Braun versus Roman for number one contendership or something like that. Because if Bray only ends up with a weak second title reign, and it's just Roman goes over Braun, let's say, so Bray doesn't eat the pin. What the fuck is the point? Like, I like Roman being back, but I don't like the direction this match is taking because I don't get how to book it and not look like a complete jackass.
Okay, so it's Roman Reigns. So, yes, he's going to come back and get a title match because he's Roman Reigns. B, he was scheduled to get a title match at WrestleMania, and it was delayed because of situations and circumstances. And C, he's not going to win this match. The only reason Braun is in this match is so he can eat the pin, and they're eventually going to pair it off to a Fiend versus Roman match. What are we? Okay, September, October. I don't know if they can get to Survivor Series with this feud, but September, October, we'll get a one-on-one Roman versus Fiend match.
So you think it's going to be Fiend goes over by beating Braun, and then Roman and Braun probably go into their own kind of thing where Roman's pissed Braun fucked it up for both of them, and then it ends up with Roman and Braun and Bray. Too many Bs. Too many Brs.
Neither of you see Roman winning the title Sunday?
No, I kind of did because I don't like any of the outcomes because Braun's not winning And Braun's been the least convincing quote-unquote monster big man in the history of wrestling, so fuck him.
I
haven't been a fan of Braun in forever. And if Bray loses after a week, what does that do for him?
Doesn't it look better if Roman goes over on Braun and Bray is now chasing Roman?
No, I said that. But why would we want him to chase?
To be fair, what Andrew just said,
what's the difference? That's all they do with him. How many days has he actually held the fucking title?
But
I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Anyway, I'm gonna wait till you get your finger off the button. There we go. So whatever Andrew said, okay, was 10,000 times better. Now he's fucking with me, guys. You guys can't see this, but he's playing with the button. But was 10,000 times better than the shit I came up with? Man, that shit would be great. Which probably means that's not what they're gonna do. I mean, obviously, I could see a world in which Roman wins this Sunday, obviously. And I mean, The Fiend, the type of character it is, does he really need a title to be effective? He could just go about his business fucking with people and being a gatekeeper. Like, that's not, he doesn't really need a title. The character doesn't need a title. You disagree, Tony? You think the character needs a title? Or you think that if he were to lose the title in 1 week, it would kill the character, hence why I say Braun's gonna eat this pin, and then we get The Fiend versus Roman spun off into another program.
This is a no-brainer. Roman gets the title. You don't bring him back not to give him the title. There's no... what other momentum does he get for not winning this match? How do you get momentum? There's no crowd. There's no nothing. It's just gonna be Roman coming out as I knock over my microphone because I'm so excited and delusional about this.
You have
that was
right.
Actually his dick that knocked over the microphone. It was great.
I'm sorry.
Yeah.
Roman has to win the title Sunday.
Okay, well, then what's the logic for Bray? Because I didn't say it would kill Bray or bury the Fiend. It's just it makes him look like a chump if he's got all these short dumbass gimmicks and
why stop now?
Because wherever The Fiend wants to go, because the character itself doesn't need the title. Hell, y'all melon farmers always talk about how boring his title matches are. And now he has on his resume 2-time Universal Champion. So now that elevates him, at least in the eyes of the WWE Universe. Not saying the WWE Universe meaning the fans, but in terms of WWE, he's a 2-time Universal Champion.
So in the world of WWE and how they write things out, and I guess the casual observer, not the IWC, not the hardcore fans, he is elevated because he's a 1-time WWE champion and now a 2-time Universal champion, so he's seen as more legitimate even if that second reign is a week?
Yes.
Bray will be fine because he's
a 2-time champion.
Bray is more multi-dimensional than Roman Reigns. Fair.
Christian was WWE champion twice for a work shift. And he still gets to put 2-time world champion on his resume.
So,
like, his first title.
Fantasy book this for a second.
I'll save my brilliance for another show. Go ahead.
I like the Roman winning because that's kind of where I was at first. And it would make sense, I guess, if Braun chased after him for some reason because they've got history, or maybe elevate Baron Corbin into that picture. Who do you think Bray would then set his eyes on?
Maybe that's the way to elevate Big E, and he gets in Big E's head, and because that's a thing that's going on right now. So maybe that's where they go with that. I don't know. I'm just throwing shit out there.
I like that.
Yeah, or maybe even Jeff Hardy. Maybe he tries to go after Jeff with the because he's just the Intercontinental title holder, and he's got.
Bray is that he changes the person back to a former version of themselves or to an alternate version of themselves. And you said it yourself, Roman's kind of always been Roman. So there's really no change for the Fiend to affect Roman with. But Big E, he's got a lot of history from NXT, from his Big E Langston with Ziggler and AJ Lee, and it wasn't always New Day Big E, so that's good. Jeff Hardy. Jeff Hardy's kind of been the sort of same, hasn't he?
Yeah, but he's got history with the Hardys because of that whole Woken Matt run that he had before he got into the Fiend shit. So there's some history there that you could play on. That's why I threw it out there.
That's not bad. Tony, any thoughts to add to this cauldron of fantasy booking?
I think you guys are missing it, but that's fine.
You can save that for another show.
Yeah, that's why you have your own show, sir. But I still think that that the Fiend maintains or remains champion here. Braun eats the pin, and then they spin Roman and Fiend off into some sort of program because that's what we were supposed to get at WrestleMania anyway.
So I guess last fantasy aspect on this, because I know DeMarco brought it up a couple weeks ago when I was on his show.
Ooh.
Since I think NXT UK is supposed to have a October thing. So if WWE does an October pay-per-view, it's Halloween Havoc.
They're going to... Wait, hold on. Stop. I can 100% confirm WWE will do an October pay-per-view.
Oh, no, I said and it's Halloween Havoc.
Oh, that'd be great.
So would that not be perfect for Bray?
Yeah, it won't happen, though.
Isn't October typically Hell in a Cell?
Yeah, but that has sucked the last couple years, so it's perfect to pivot to, something that people actually like.
So, here, I'll ask you this question.
Halloween Havoc the last couple of years,
What if...
Oh, no, WCW sucked the last couple of years. There's a difference there, sir.
That doesn't include Halloween Havoc. That was not a WCW property, sir.
No, Havocs were always kind of interesting because they had that fun gimmick kind of built into.
How do you feel about Roman winning the title Sunday and they completely ignore the fact that Bray had the title and they have Bray and Braun go ahead and finish their rivalry while Roman takes the title in a different direction?
I'm cool, man. Put the title on Roman, man. Quit bullshitting with it. They were kind of pussyfooting around it he came back from cancer. Just go all in with it, man. It's fucking Roman.
Roman Big E for the title at Royal Rumble. I'd love to see it.
Mania.
No, Rumble. Let Big E defend the title at Mania.
Well, wait. Mania. Wouldn't Big E winning Mania. Rumble be bigger, though?
No. Yes. No, because the other side needs
it. If Big E gets an Intercontinental run at some point, let's just argument since we're in fantasy book heaven. And then he wins the Rumble, then that not only elevates him as a singles competitor, it then gives him the easy...
How many times do we have to see the IC champ against the... heavyweight champion.
I didn't say he had to hold it till then, but he could have a decent.
And you gotta bring him back down a step by getting rid of that title.
Unless it's what Chris said with Bray, and there's a fuck around kind of moment, and that helps Big E kind of reach a different level, and that's why he wins Rumble. That kind of works.
Watch this right here. This is why I'm great. It's okay. You can book. No, watch this. Watch how I do this. Watch how I do this.
Be a title or two.
Watch this right here.
This is great. Yeah.
There's more than one way to elevate a black superstar than having them win the secondary title and then having them win the ultimate title. Nobody got the segue at all. Nobody got that. Nobody got that. None of y'all. Neither one of y'all.
You want to talk about Keith Lee?
Tacos?
Jesus Christ.
Keith Lee and tacos?
Keith Lee and tacos. That's what you got from that.
I said tacos, he said Keith Lee.
And tacos.
Tacos?
So the first thing that came in your head on your Warshop test, or however the fuck you say that.
The Warshop test? Lee,
thank you. Is tacos.
Well, no, because you
shout out to Jared LeVert. Whatever. Yeah, they're both wrong, asshole. It's God damn it.
Well, if you go get it wrong right.
Jesus Christ.
I miss you guys so much.
No, I just like tacos, okay? So what are you getting at? Now I'm thinking tacos. I don't even remember what the question was. Taco.
Yeah, I was trying to do a segue and y'all killed it, so I don't care where we go from here. It doesn't matter.
We're so free-flowing. We're going to take a commercial break and come back and talk about Keith Lee.
Why should you
visit thechairshot.com?
Thechairshot.com is your home for hard-hitting reviews, news, opinion, and analysis with attitude. Why? Because you're smarter than the average fan. Thechairshot.com. Always use your head.
Chris walked away, so I'm going to play this gem for him.
Chair Shot Network.
So, Andrew, here we are. with no Christopher Platt, and we're trying to transition.
He's flowing.
Yeah, well, we're trying to talk about what he wants to talk about, and he left.
That is true. So, but I mean, I liked what they did too. So, if they talk about elevating another wrestler, I mean, since he wants to go the Keith Lee direction, that was a fantastic way to start things out with Keith Lee and Randy Orton, and Orton in the match, Orton made him look like $1 million. You know, Keith Lee had a little bit of a promo to prove that he can speak, that he's imposing. Orton didn't really belittle him. Orton gave a lot in the promo and in the match, and the fact that it ended with the bullshit McIntyre thing, that was just all good. Granted, it got overshadowed by the things that the IWC decided to cry and complain about because of ring attire they did not care for and a new song that they did not care for. But all in all, Keith Lee and Randy Orton, that's great. And there's a lot of seeds planted right there to kind of keep it hot and keep Keith Lee relevant towards the main event.
I like the same booking that I just said before. Keith Lee wins the WWE title over Drew McIntyre at Royal Rumble, where Brock Lesnar wins the Royal Rumble. Because we've seen it before, Keith Lee and Brock Lesnar. What bigger WrestleMania event than Keith Lee defending the WWE title against Brock Lesnar? Think about that.
Brock doesn't need to win the Rumble, though, to have a title match.
But
see the showdown at the end of that night. I mean, that's huge. That's people watching. That's people interested in Raw.
Maybe.
I can smoke back at that, but Andrew, what he was trying to say, and he didn't want to say it because, all right, Andy, Keith Lee is so articulate and he speaks so well. Isn't that what you wanted to say?
I didn't say that! Sheesh!
Okay, so, no, but all seriousness, man, let me get the, thanks, there you go. Yes. Andrew Belaz, man, he's going to be the keynote speaker at the RNC later.
Your
on
vice president. Catch him. He's your vice president nominee, by the way.
Keith Lee's going to be the keynote speaker? Yes, that'd be awesome. He could make any dumb shit we say sound fucking awesome.
I just want to make it clear, do not support Belaz, Platt Belaz 2020, but buy the t-shirt, prowrestlingtees.com/thechairshot.
Don't act like each and every one of us didn't pop when Keith Lee started out with greetings and salutations, Randy Orton.
Already told you that before the show started. Now you bring it up again.
On air, yes, I did.
Yes, but yeah, you're right.
Yes, you're the first person I thought of.
Well, thank you.
And honestly, I pointed at the screen and said, gimmick infringement!
Yeah, Bob. So, just real quick, let me get the bitching out the way, because if you all follow me on Twitter at The Real C Platt, you saw that I did sign the petition to get Keith Lee's old music back. I obviously wasn't a fan of the music. Obviously wasn't a fan of that weird Under Armour spandex shorts set.
The shorts look weird. The shorts look weird. They were a little fluffy, weren't they?
Okay, I'm not going there. But the
I just meant in general. They fluffed out from his legs. They should have been tighter. No? Okay, I don't know.
It's okay, man. You're looking at Keith's fluff. That's all right, man. It's okay. Nothing wrong with that. I will get Patton Oswalt's number for you, man. We can make this happen. Okay? Everybody needs love. Everybody needs love. Everybody deserves love, man, regardless of whatever. No, but I mean, you know, that, yeah, those were bullshit. And the funny part to me is they clearly see money in the man, and they're clearly doing this thinking that they're getting him over, which shows you how tone deaf they can be at times, because we've seen this before. And I mean, let's be fair. You can't really fault the IWC for filling away, because we again have seen this before. We saw this with Nakamura, we saw this with the IWC favorite Cesaro, and yada yada yada, we've seen this before with other acts, Rick O'Shea, just to name a few. We've seen this. Aleister Black, what the hell are they doing with him? I guess he's heel now and they'll figure that out. But I mean, we've seen this before, so you know, you can't fault the IWC for their trepidations about what's happening
I
in
mean,
the chain.
I can when they start off the whole comment section with, you know, Is he buried because his song changed?
That's
moronic.
Okay, that's so much, yeah. But that being said, as you brought up, Andrew, they did put him out there with Randall Keith Orton. They caught a fair one in the match, and he's going to be facing Randall Keith Orton this Sunday at whatever the hell. Is it Payback? Is it Revenge? Is it the Big Payback?
I thought he was facing
McIntyre.
It's the
Battle Back of Payground.
Well, McIntyre got kicked in the head 3 times, so he's not wrestling.
No, but McIntyre interfered. Are we sure? Because McIntyre interfered, then he got kicked again. Did I miss something at the end? He got kicked in the backstage thing, so did they say that he's not wrestling?
They said he almost died.
And he has soft tissue damage. There's no way he doesn't have soft tissue damage. But, no, they actually announced Keith Lee.
They said he's unable to obtain an erection.
Oh, I missed that. Oh, no!
So they
it's not even a four-hour thing. He needs some Blue Chew.
Oh, Jesus. Hey, Blue Chew, if you're listening, man, holler at us. But, yeah, so they clearly see money in him. And, I mean, we'll get used to the music, just like I got used to Seth Rollins' generic rock music. So it is what it is. But, yeah, they see things in Keith, and I'm excited to have him up on the main roster. So that's the big thing. That's my big takeaway. He's on the main roster because he was literally too big for NXT. I mean, that literally.
Yeah. I mean, well, NXT does have some bigger guys, but just everything he can do, he stuck out just with the athleticism, his sheer size, and everything. It's just Keith is money. I don't know what exactly they're going to do with Keith and Randy, though, because I did really see Randy getting that title run at some point off of Drew, and then kind of rebuilding Drew to kind of get a bigger win in front of a live studio audience, so to speak. So I don't really know what we're doing with Keith. Like, I don't want him to absorb a loss, and yeah, Randy's Teflon. Randy can eat a loss for whatever reason, but that's going to be interesting. I'm curious how they get out of that, and hopefully it's not something stupid like a double count out or some shit like that.
So did either one of you guys pick up on the subtleness between Keith Lee and Drew McIntyre, how Drew came out and said, I don't need to, we're friends, which, okay, they probably are friends. They probably met on the indies. I'm sure they spent some time at NXT together. I don't know if the timeline matches up, but it makes sense to me. Whatever. Kayfabe. But did y'all pick up on how Drew, he said, well, I don't need another man to fight my battles. And then Keith felt a certain way that Drew came out and attacked Randy during his match. Like, were they subtly planting some seeds down the line for a Keith Lee-Drew McIntyre confrontation? Did anybody else pick up on that, or am I just overreaching?
Oh, I did, because McIntyre was on TakeOver saying something about his friend Keith Lee and how, you know, he thought he was going to retain, and then he brought up friend a couple times too when he was talking about Keith Lee, and then the tone shifted between the two of them. So it's nice. Hopefully it's subtle, and it's a good thing you picked up on it, so they're going to go somewhere with it, and it's not going to be overlooked because WWE writing really isn't that clever more often than not.
You say that, man, but we just talked about Roman and, you know, just kind of double back a little bit. SummerSlam, man, come on. Every single match up and down that card, man, that was a good build. Every single match on that card had months on months of build for that. So I know that WWE takes some slack about their writing, and they can't create, you know, coherent long-term storylines. And I've been critical of them as well, but... And I said it last week on the show, man. Every single match up and down that card on SummerSlam had a long build. And that's why I enjoyed the show, because of the long build. Was every match the greatest match that's ever existed? No. Edge and Randy Orton did that a few weeks ago. Or a few months ago. Yes. But it was a good build, and I felt satisfied with the payoffs to all those matches.
I mean, they also don't have much of a choice since they've got like 15 people to their roster now because of quarantine and all this limited roster stuff. And so they don't have much of a choice then to play long term because you only have so many pieces to interchange right now. But yeah, they've been doing better with the builds, and it's kind of helped to show. But much like you said in the previous topic, where me just throwing shit at the wall with Bray and Roman and Big E was better than you had fucking, you know, faith in WWE for writing. So let's just call a spade a spade. WWE creative isn't very creative most of the time, they've had a little more time to drag out some storylines without the fans just burying it and them having to pivot into God knows what. So exactly. It's been a little bit better, and I think you said that a week or two ago too, so I'm just, you know, kind of giving you your flowers on that one. But I don't know. I'll give them, it's been slightly better, but it still hasn't been overly engaging. Because if you think about it, a lot of their longer-term storylines have been a little overlappy with some of the concepts and some of the, you know, family drama and betrayal and the, like, brooding kind of building tension between things. So it's not like it's an overly clever angle. It's a little paint by numbers.
Bruh, wrestling has always been paint by numbers. How's that any different, man? All wrestling does is play on the seven deadly sins, and that's where they get all their content from. So how is that any different than any time in history that wrestling has been wrestling, with the possible exception of the Attitude Era? Everything else plays off the seven deadly sins.
Yeah, well, it's also that concept of there are no new ideas anymore because everything's been done, and it's more just how you repackage it. And WWE goes for very cliche, very easy to put the numbers together kind of packaging. So that's why some of their stuff doesn't hit me quite the same way or bores me a little harder, because I enjoy a little cleverness somewhere, even if it's a stupid campy moment or even if it's some kind of offshoot that you think was throwaway and then it ends up kind of coming together, like you were just talking about with Keith and Drew. If that was a throwaway line, that sucks. If that was something to build off of, that's good. And then you can kind of tie that all back in together and maybe even make up some bullshit story about the Indies or NXT with, you know, those nice black and white photographs. Maybe they both spent a time in Progress or something like that when Drew was still with Impact or still in the Indies. You know what I mean? Or like a PWG match. So there's a lot that you could build off of. But again, it's more the lack of faith that I've had in them. They need to kind of prove it to me, because I really have no faith in WWE creative.
So the fact that Roman Reigns for the last 5 years has been the biggest heel in the industry, and you're talking about they can't be creative or they can't paint intelligent storylines, even though he's been the guy, we can all agree he's been the top heel in the entire industry since he's been the guy. So that doesn't, you're just going to totally ignore all of that.
I mean, I didn't say I agree that he's the top heel. I called you Paul, and you know, because you were taking that Triple H angle of everybody boos him, so he must be the heel. I think Roman's big problem is that he didn't buy into his character for the first couple years, and he didn't know who the fuck he was. Then, after when was it that he held like the booze in his hand when he retired Undertaker, right? Like that night right there is kind of the one that solidified Roman just being Roman. And be him a heel or whatever, because he flip-flops depending on who the fuck he's facing. Because, I mean, when he's getting thrown off of a loading dock in a gurney, you're not the heel by some big dude who's flipping shit and trying to murder you. You're not the heel in that respect, really. But he's just been him, and it works. It's kind of cool. But he took a while to kind of find his legs on that one.
Well, that's not his fault. Well, I can't even say that because now I'm going to prove your point if I continue my statement.
Say it!
No, I won't. I'm just saying, man, I think WWE, and I've been critical of their booking, but when they really want to book somebody and get somebody over, I still think they know what they're doing, and I still think that they're playing with the IWC a little bit. Honestly, I think the IWC is the problem, and I'm sure we're going to get to that momentarily with one of our other topics, because that's one of the reasons that SummerSlam came off so well to me, because as you alluded to earlier, they didn't have fans there to poo-poo on whatever it was they were doing, so then they would panic and then switch courses. They were able to play some long-term storylines and let everything play out, and it made for a great show. Like, I enjoyed SummerSlam. Fuck what everybody else is talking about. I thought SummerSlam was a great show.
I mean, I didn't hate it, but I didn't think it was great. I thought it was very middle of the road.
Can we give props to Dominic Mysterio as well? And Seth Rollins, for that matter, who is basically the new version of Triple H. Can we all, y'all see that? Seth Rollins is now Triple H?
I can give props to Dominic, but in the same respect, their match was set up very similarly to the McAfee-Cole match, where it was a couple big spots to make the less experienced guy look big and good, and Cole did it better than Rollins did. Rollins getting all cheesy and stupid and talking way too much.
Oh, we're going to get to that. Don't worry. We're going to get to that.
I'm just saying. We're
going to give him his flowers. I'm just saying. Can Seth get some flowers? Seth is literally Triple H now. This is the guy who was the indie darling, and everybody said he was the best worker in the company. Then y'all got sick of him, thinking they were pushing him down our throats or whatever the case may be.
Oh, my God. It hurts my soul to listen to you two argue about WWE main roster.
He knocked up the top woman in the industry. Does that sound familiar? Hello, it's time to play the game. And now he's underrated for how good he really is, especially in that WWE system. Like, it wasn't coincidental that he started using the pedigree. They see what I see. He is the newfangled Triple H.
What's the difference between a year and an eon?
Quite a few years. Why?
That's the distance between Triple H and Seth Rollins.
Okay, so you're just going to act like you totally don't see what I'm saying. Okay, all right, whatever.
Oh, no, I'm not acting like it. That's just how I feel.
He is the new Triple H, man. Seth Rollins is Triple H. They even think so.
No, they're wrong.
Yes.
They're also wrong.
Yes.
Though. They're like blinded by the light.
They even think so.
Yeah.
Anywho.
Seth Rollins hasn't been good since he wore all white on pay-per-view nights.
Yep, that's what y'all said about Triple H, too, during his reign of terror.
Nope,
yep,
never said that. Seth Rollins hasn't been
good since he had two working knees.
Never said that. Never said that.
That's what y'all said about Triple H, too, but
he's
it was just his squad.
Wait, which one doesn't work?
You know what I mean. He injured the one and never sold it for like the first year that he was supposed to have a fucked up leg from Joe.
Right, but the other one works, and clearly the wee knee works, so he's still got two working knees.
You know what I'm getting at when I say that.
Don't forget about the wee knee.
Yes,
we can't. We've seen pictures. It's not exactly a lot to remember, but
it
at
works.
Least it's there.
It works.
It works. Good for him.
Hey, he knocked up the biggest chick in the game, and who else did that before him? The one and only Mr. Paul Levesque.
That just shows if you're accurate with a pistol, it's still good.
Word.
Man, I wish we had more structure to this one. Let's take a break. We'll be right back.
TheChairShot.com. Always use your head.
This is your boy Kenny Killer telling you to make sure you check out TheChairShot.com, bringing you breaking news, interviews, podcasts galore, everything pro wrestling. Make sure you check it out, TheChairShot.com.
So, Patton Oswalt, no, I'm just kidding. Let's go here. Let's move forward with this. Thoughts on the Thunderdome, the WWE Thunderdome, and what they've done to enhance the viewing experience there, and you guys can run in whatever direction you want from there.
Go ahead, Andrew.
That was nice of you. You actually told me I can go. Like, I wasn't sure. Because I started the last one. I thought you'd have a bunch of shit to say. Especially because you foreshadowed in the first one, the last one.
See, folks.
That's nice.
This was the problem. They were way too nice to each other with Dave around.
Yeah. I thought it was all right. You know, it was okay. It was good. It was cool. But, you know.
I don't like anything. The farmers had to fuck it up for everybody. You know, you're getting dumb to shit, and now it's fucked up. We had something nice. This is why we can't have nice things. Fuck all y'all melon farmers. I'm out. Chris Platt.
Is that how I sound to y'all?
Depends on how much you drink.
If you were white and from Jersey, maybe.
No, bro. If he was white and from Jersey, he'd be more like Vince Russo, bro. He'd have to say bro at least 57 more times, bro. So, bro. Oh, that's who hasn't been on Thunderdome yet. Nobody's put Vince Russo up there. We've got Chris Benoit. We had a murder scene. We had Pikachu. Pikachu showed the fuck up. Like, you know, Pikachu's enjoying himself some WWE. You know, gotta catch them all. Gotta watch all that wrestling. He's good at this. And Pokemon Go taking a weird angle on this one. Did WWE get like a crossover kind of deal?
Apparently, David Duke is enjoying himself during the Thunderdome as well.
Okay, yeah, I mean, yeah, I can't really go anywhere off of that one.
Well, I wanted to get your thoughts on Thunderdome before we went there, so let's double back and get your thoughts.
It's a good concept. I like the concept of having the screens up there in the faces, so you do get the real-time reaction, or, you know, however much Skype lag or Zoom lag really is. So it does add a live presence. It does add something that's decent. People are obviously still getting in their stupid videos and their stupid fucking signs, much like we already said. But I guess, you know, there's no way you can really get volleyballs to come down through the crowd, so that's a positive. And I guess it's harder to, you know, coordinate what chants or CM Punk's and all that other stuff when you're trying to just, you know, understand everything through a Zoom call. So, sure. I mean, some people do look dorky as fuck, though. I'm gonna bet everybody clapping or reacting like on camera, it's a little weird, it's a little goofy, but you know, everybody seems to be having fun, save for the ones that are fucking it up. And it's smart of WWE, because you know they're making some money off of it. There's obviously people that want to partake in it, so fuck it. It's doing all right, and it's setting up a decent atmosphere, save for what we talked about already.
Yeah, it does add to the ambiance of the whole situation, and it's something new, and yeah, I'm digging it. I do wish they would have a few more attractive people in the front rows. Perhaps we could do some better vetting, which I'm pretty sure they're going to do that from here on out about, you know, some of the things that we've discussed earlier.
Moving forward.
Yeah, and I mean, you know, the thing is, man, I'm pretty sure a billion-dollar corporation, they did everything they thought that they possibly could to try to limit some of the bullshit that has been showing on the screens. But as Andrew said, as me, this is why we can't have nice things. It really is. I mean, come on, man. God damn. Seriously? Like, they're trying to make this interactive, and they shout out to the NBA bubble because they clearly learned something from that. But come on, y'all. I mean, what? Come on. And that's the thing, man. Really? You're going to show up in a Klan uniform with a Confederate flag in the background? You're going to show a Muslim murder on your goddamn screen? You're going to put "He Who Shall Not Be Named" up on your goddamn screen? This is why people ridicule us and shit on us when we tell them that they're wrestling fans, because they're thinking of people like y'all.
Yeah. How come they couldn't vet this out?
That's the thing. I feel like they did, man. I'm sure they took precautions to make sure no fuck shit happened, but guess what? It's wrestling fans. There's going to be some fuck shit that happens, because that's what it is. That's why these programs talking about All Wrestling, that's why they can't get top-notch advertisers or, you know, advertisements and sponsors and stuff like that, because that is that's the knock on wrestling fans. They think it's a bunch of inbred, hillbilly, low-income hicks that...
It's not even that. It's just this trolly, moronic culture that has taken over the internet in general, where, you know, I love how everybody around the age of, like, say, 20 to 25 thinks they invented irony, and, like, you know, they're just like, oh, I'm gonna do this to be ironic, it's gonna be funny. Yeah, you and everybody else did it, so it's not ironic, it's not unique, you're a fucking moron, and you're fucking it up for everybody else. And nobody's doing this bubble thing right when it comes to WWE, when it comes to wrestling, because AEW tried their little 10% fucking ticket sales, and you got Tony Khan looking like a bigger idiot than WWE for letting Chris Benoit on a video, when they're just like, we didn't realize there was gonna be scalpers. Oops, that fucked up our pod idea. How do you not realize there's gonna be scalpers for something with tickets? So, when it comes down to it, the NBA has the best hold on the bubble concept, and the best execution, because shit, they've told people to kick rocks, go home, because they decided to break curfew, or they decided to go hang out with buddies at the wrong club at the wrong place, and they just got fucking ejected from the bubble, basically. So that's good shit. It doesn't seem like WWE, just wrestling in general, doesn't seem to have that kind of mentality to enforce any kind of real policing or any kind of real safety precautions when they want to go under the guise of, oh, this is to make everybody safe and make everybody better. Yeah, but then this happened. Oh, we didn't think that was going to happen. That happened all the time for the last 30 fucking years. You thought you were special?
Well, that's the thing. I don't think it's WWE or even AEW's fault. I think it's the wrestling fans' fault. That's why I say wrestling. I just threw wrestling together
because, yeah, I agree with you that it's the fandom. It's the people who are buying the tickets. It's the people who think they invented irony and think that this is going to be funnier. This is going to make a point if I put this fire velveteen fucking sign on my thing or whatever fuck it was. No, you're going to get ejected. Somebody on IWC is going to share it. You're going to be a jackass for a day, but your name's not on there. No one knows it was you. Fuck off.
Why don't we tell everybody who these people were?
I mean, that would be up to WWE to release the names.
Yeah, but why would you try to give those people publicity? Because you know how this works, man. Even an anti-hero is a hero. In a lot of people's minds, it's better to be infamous than anonymous.
I mean, look at it. So why give them any love? Fucking face fuck me Felicia made a whole brand off of that, which we all remember, or at least I know of it, and I don't know if you guys really remember. The girl that held up the face fuck me.
Definitely don't remember face fuck me Felicia.
It was a girl that held up the sign face fuck me Finn in the crowd, and then she got kicked out shortly after that, but there was video, there were stills. She made a whole brand out of it. She was doing like valeting or managering in fucking New York, North Jersey, fucking, you know, indie wrestling. She's got she's on the OnlyFans side of the game kind of thing. She's made a whole brand out of it for the last 3 years just because she held up a sign that said face fuck me Finn and got kicked out for it.
Oh, that's the people's tramp chick. Is that who you talking about?
Correct.
I respect her.
Brand off of it. So why would you want to do this for these other people? Which it's not the same thing. It's not as funny. It's not as tongue in cheek like a face fuck me Finn. This is just them trying to be quote unquote ironic.
Yeah, I respect her hustles. So yeah, I'm not. Yeah, there won't be any Felicia Rose slander on these airwaves. I respect her hustle, but you're right, because it worked for her. Other people think that it might possibly work for them, even though the dudes that are doing this probably, I don't know, they might want Finn to face fuck him. I don't know. Like, you know, on the Patton Oswalt side of the game.
I was gonna say we need more Patton Oswalt in this right now. We need Patton Oswalt's opinion.
Oh my god. This is where we've gone. We're supporting Finn face fucking fans. That's where we are.
No. No, but for real, fans, come on, man. Get your shit together, man. This is why nobody respects us, and everybody does this when we tell them we're wrestling fans. You know what I mean? Try to hold back their laughter. It's because of you. You're the problem. The fans are the problem.
What are you, 12? Kind of like, oh, I was a fan of wrestling, and then I hit high school.
I missed it then.
To be fair, man, the fans and the quote-unquote dirt sheets, that's the problem in wrestling. It really is. Those are the two problems. That's what ruined wrestling.
The fans
and the dirt sheets.
Oh, I don't know that the dirt sheets ruin wrestling.
Too many people thinking that they're part of the business instead of just being a fucking fan of the business.
Yes. And think they know more than they knew. That they do, rather.
The dirt sheets are good for the business.
Are they, though?
Yes.
Some of them.
Definitely.
Some.
Definitely.
But not all of them.
Oh, all of them. All of them.
No,
it separates. It separates.
Like, does that shirt say Dave Meltzer is my husband? What does it say?
Ooh, Patton gonna be jealous.
No.
I'm telling you.
Fandango won gold today, so that's why he can't be the Fandango side of the game anymore. He's a champion. It's a Patton Oswalt side of the game.
That's funny. But no, seriously though, man, before we move on, man, why do you think that the dirt sheets are a good thing for the business?
Why not? It gives people hope. It makes them feel like they're connected, and then all of a sudden they're not. So they just don't know where to go. It keeps people involved, and it keeps people up to date on things that they may not necessarily know, but they think they want to know. Does that not make sense? It keeps you more interested.
No, I get that, but the downside of that is it makes people think they know more than they do know about the business.
That's more involvement.
No. It's more involvement, but in
Stop.
A bad way, because they don't understand how the business works.
Stop punctuating Johnny's fucking tweet with 700 followers. Who gives a shit? And start reading the filters. Read between the lines. Intelligent wrestling fans will still survive.
they also don't realize that a lot of these dirt sheet writers are getting worked by the people backstage.
Who cares?
They also
That's their problem.
No, just whoa. Let me finish. Pause your mic. But they also don't realize that a lot of the people that they get this dirt from, quote unquote, they're putting these guys over because that's part of the quid pro quo shit that goes on in every business. And a lot of times these mother farmers don't know shit, so they just make shit up. They
whether it's wrestlers or fans, the cream rises to the top, my brother.
Okay, but let's not act like less people are watching wrestling than have ever watched wrestling in the history of wrestling. Come on, man.
That's debatable.
How's that debatable? It's not debatable. It's not. It's not.
You got to find out the ways of consumption are so different and unattainable with stats. It's ridiculous. You can't measure who's watching wrestling right now.
I'm actually with Tunney on this one because
No, and you're both wrong because cable television doesn't run the world anymore. How many mainstream wrestlers are there? There's not one. The last mainstream wrestler was John Cena.
Well, if Greg would go back to his office with pictures of wrestlers and ask people why they're watching fucking wrestling, we would know that answer, but he hadn't done that in a long time. No.
You ask the average mother farmer who Roman Reigns is, Shinsuke Nakamura,
that was one
Big
of the guys.
E. Langston. They don't know. That's what I'm talking about. Go back to the 50s. Everybody knew Strangler Lewis and fucking Luthez and Landos. Everybody knew these motherfuckers. They might not even be wrestling fans, but they knew who they were. These motherfuckers were mainstream.
Because
the
there was one,
star that wrestling has produced
two,
is John Cena. And
three
nobody else
types
knows
of streams of media instead of one. Cena. To 300 streams of types of media. You got your news from one fucking place back then. You didn't get it from 700 places.
And it's 10,000 people streaming the shit 300,000 times.
It could be 10,000 people in Saudi Arabia and fucking all these other countries. Just because there's not as many melon farmers in fucking New Jersey or New York or Georgia or Wisconsin that know about it doesn't mean around the world it's not a bigger footprint. You know, they didn't have that in the 50s. There was closed-circuit television in the 80s. It's still a fairly new thing to have worldwide consumption of the product. So I get what you're saying, and from a tangible kind of assessment of who the next quote-unquote superstar is, there is none, and it doesn't seem like it's that big of a thing. But obviously from the fact that there's new companies building up in the last year, everybody seems to have been doing good before quarantine, which fucked everybody up, so let's not bring that into the equation. And you have more visibility on different regions, different countries, and shit, World of Sport came back, you know, last year. Progress was up until, you know, everything kind of came out about the fact that they're just a piece of shit and that killed IPW UK and all that other stuff. We had more visibility. Sure, you might not be able to say there's a Rock or a Cena or a Stone Cold, but more people are kind of like, oh yeah, New Japan, I know about that. Oh yeah, AAA. Oh yeah, AEW. Like, they know the basics a little more than they used to, because in the 90s, it was WCW, WWF, and ECW. There were no indies that people talked about, so it was still a very concentrated consumption of wrestling, which is why
it's
10 million people watch.
It's still a concentrated consumption, man. It's
not.
Just
a it's not, and I'll tell you why. No, it's not. It's not. The problem is that the fan base has been broadened out, and that's why you don't have mainstream superstars anymore, because there's so many more ways to access watching wrestling and the way you want to watch wrestling that more fans are broadening out away from the mainstream brands, whereas before, take 25 years ago, if you wanted to watch wrestling, you probably were going to tune in on Monday night because you didn't have a chance to go here to watch Impact, here to watch MLW, here to watch NWA, here to knock your microphone over, here to watch New Japan, etc., etc. You have more options now. Therefore, the wrestling community is diversified throughout these mediums that they can consume, and they're not just stuck with one easy access path to tune in on Monday night and watch Hulk Hogan beat Ric Flair and Stone Cold Steve Austin take on The Rock.
And it's still the same 1.2 to 2 million people consuming all of this content.
No, it's not. It's more.
I had a conversation with two teenagers. One was 15, one was 17. They were both literally wrestlers. They literally both wrestled in high school. So I got excited. So I started bringing up professional wrestling. And you know what happened? They did the... One of them did the... And I want to smack the shit out of both of them sons of bitches. You
That's not the same thing. Come on. Amateur wrestling, pro wrestling's not the same thing.
How many people back in the day, 30 years ago, were amateur wrestlers and watched pro wrestling? A high percentage. I'm just
saying, man. There was TV and TV. You had to get your porn scrambled if you didn't fucking buy it. Now there's Pornhub and RedTube and YouPorn and all that other shit. Everything has changed in the last 25, 30 years to be more accessible to everybody.
Sites? What were those sites again? I'm sorry, can you...
I mean, if there are 78 sites for porn...
78? Okay. Folks, yeah, take a break. We'll be right back. Go ahead. What are those 78? One.
So if porn is that easy to come by, you don't think wrestling's that easy to come by for somebody looking or, you know, somebody be interested in something random or off the wall? So... I agree more with Tunney. Now, maybe the overall number is still less, but that's because there's just more ways to consume everything. In 1995, at 8 o'clock, it was Nitro or Raw. You couldn't go, let me check my DVR for West Wing all this other shit.
No, Martin Sheen does a great job.
You had Monday Night Football. You had Murphy Brown. You had
Monday Night Football for three fucking months. You had Murphy Brown if you felt like it, but I doubt many people that watched Raw and Nitro during the Attitude Era were really craving some Murphy fucking Brown. What the fuck?
Come I would on. Love to see a stat on that one. Crossover audiences.
There we go.
Somebody call Meltzer, man.
Meltzer, how many wrestlers? How many wrestling fans love Murphy Brown?
Okay. So name a wrestler that has mainstream appeal. Not that you think has mainstream appeal. That you could go outside and the next person you talk to would know who they are.
Right now? On the active rosters?
No. Yes. On None. Every active roster across the world.
Roman Reigns and Daniel Bryan are the closest thing to it. That's it.
The closest. And that ain't even close.
So in the States, for all... Come on.
You think
you
my
get,
mama knows
you
who
get,
Bryan
you get,
and
Reigns you get
are.
More
she
people.
Who the Rock is, Hulk Hogan and Macho Man and Ric Flair are. She you don't get, know who Roman. Reigns
you get more people to tell you who Mick Foley is right now. You're making our point, though, Platt.
I'm not.
You are.
I don't know how you think I am.
Because we're seeing that so divided attention right now, whereas before there was a sole focus. It's so divided now.
All right, calm down. Time out.
There are no timeouts. This is war. This is pot is war. Only on the chairshot.com.
That we talk about, when we talk about like a new TV show, you're talking about something on Netflix. I might be talking about something on Amazon Prime. Chris, you might be talking about something on Hulu. And that's just three of us could be talking about three different shows that one of us doesn't have access to or has no interest in or whatever. That's the same concept. And that's on a very, very smaller scale, obviously. But there are so many different ways to consume anything. You want a comedy? There's 27 different platforms and new shows coming out all the time. And, you know, who knows? Somebody might watch it on Hulu. Somebody might watch it on HBO Max. Peacock might have something you like, or maybe Disney Plus. There's so many different ways to consume anything right now. It's not really something you can equate back to the 80s and the 90s when it was TV or nothing.
I'm not just talking about 80s and 90s. I'm going to take it further back, which, again, you guys are going to argue. Your counter-argument to what I'm saying is going to be that there was less channels, and that's why everybody tuned in. All I'm saying is it's the same 1.2 to 2 million people that are consuming this shit, and you can't argue that. It is what it is.
To be fair, you thought AEW was going to do like fuck all for their thing, and they had 750,000 people, which I said was going to be around 700,000 people to watch their Dynamite.
Oh, God, the heavens had opened up. I got something wrong. Oh, shit.
You always want to remind us when you said something 3 weeks ago because you sneezed and it sounded like the right fucking answer. And the one time I say the right fucking thing, then you're just like, ooh, you had the right number. You pulled it out of your ass. Aren't you special?
Hey, man, a broken clock is right twice a day. And number one, I said the right thing and then I sneezed. So get it right, okay? All right.
Still, though,
sunshine,
okay.
The dog ass every now and again. I don't even know what the topic was. Does anybody remember the topic?
Yeah, it's the fucking Thunderdome thing. But I get what you're getting at with the whole lack of local visibility, but fucking A, man. There's so many ways to do anything nowadays. I mean, 20 years ago, people didn't have a podcast everywhere. 40 years ago, it was radio or nothing. And then fucking 60 years ago with Strangler Lewis and Bruno Sammartino, you either listened to the radio. Maybe, were you a big fan of The Shadow? Is that what it is? You missed the days of just sitting down around the radio and be like, The Shadow knows. Is that what you miss?
Who knows what evil lurks in the hearts of men? Only The Shadow knows.
How old do you motherfuckers think I am?
74.
Lewis in the 50s, like, you know, everybody in Mexico knows El Santo, and El Santo is arguably the most popular wrestler because there were more Mexicans that were on his dick than there were fucking people on Hulk Hogan. But we don't talk about that because we're ignorant white folks, and we just like our cream corn white meat baby faces who like eat their vitamins and you know praise God and all the other shit. Yep. Mm-hmm. Yeah,
you do. Y'all do.
Fuck you.
Y'all do. Y'all do.
I do not rake my white to meet the baby face. I rake my white to meet the baby face with a side of rice. Yes, I rub rice. I like a white rice. How about that?
There's no nutrition.
For the record,
no
value
in white rice.
For the record,
so
I'll take
go.
The dark meat. It tastes better.
Your position, you take all any meat right by now.
Oh,
but,
fuck
you know.
Off. Low blow. Low blow.
I love you, Tuddy.
To keep the gloves up.
I love you, Tuddy. You set me up for it, man. I love you, man. Please don't get mad at me.
And I love you.
Anywho, does anybody have anything else to say about the Thunderdome?
I don't know. Good God. I'm going to take a commercial break, and we're going to wrap up thoughts we have on everything besides the last call, okay? I just want to say...
Sodas rule.
Yeah, they do.
TheChairShot.com. Always use your head. Why should you visit TheChairShot.com? TheChairShot.com is your home for hard-hitting reviews, news, opinion, and analysis with attitude. Why? Because you're smarter than the average fan. TheChairShot.com. Always use your head.
All right, gentlemen, a lot has gone down in the past week, wrestling-wise, throughout the nation, etc., etc. Before we get to last call, we have a specific last call. Well, this is the wrong podcast. Before we get to Can We Kick It, apparently. Sorry. Everything's bleeding together for me. Shout out to DWI Podcast. Make sure you check that out.
Indeed.
Yeah. Last thoughts here. Takeover, WWE, SummerSlam, you know, battle back at Payground, whatever the fuck's going on this weekend. This Tuesday in Texas via Orlando. Shout out to DPP. Just final thoughts on WWE and NXT in general.
Pat fucking McAfee.
There you go.
Yes.
Kudos,
yes.
Yeah. We're all clapping. I hope he gets another storyline. Go ahead, Pled.
That's it. I mean, that was amazing. And, you know, I knew he wasn't a novice because I knew that he had actually bought a wrestling ring. I believe he bought it on eBay, and it wasn't last week. He had bought a wrestling ring, and he was training with Rip Rogers. For those that don't know, he's the head trainer at OVW, which is now owned by Al Snow, who used to be a WWE territory.
Oh, not the kangaroo guy?
What are you talking about? Andrew. That's Steve Rogers. Is he talking about Steve Rogers, the guy that got killed by Stingray? Is that his name?
Rip Rogers.
No, that was Steve Irwin.
Rip Rogers, okay. Right? The kangaroo
Isn't
guy?
Isn't Steve Rogers the name of Captain America?
No.
Which means Rip Torn, the rock and roll guy?
Oh, the
Rip Torn, the actor? He's a great actor.
The ripping and the tearing. Anywho. The tearing and the ripping.
Yes. I was talking about Rip Rogers, former wrestler, head trainer at OVW. He had been working with Matt Coffey.
Who's Captain Kangaroo?
Yeah. Shut up.
That's Rip Rogers, right?
So he's not the bananas in pajamas. I don't care about it.
peanut butter.
Okay,
jelly
fine.
Chime.
Just talk then, since y'all ain't gonna let me get my shit done. Shout out to Pat McAfee. Go ahead, just talk.
No, shit, you're right. Like, Rip Rogers, he's the trainer of OVW. He trained John Cena. You know, he's an old school guy. McAfee just looked great. And like I said a little bit when we were talking, when you were trying to equate Seth Rollins to Triple H, which I kind of get it. I think it's a stretch, but, you know, not the point. He's athletic as a motherfucker. He made that look good, but that was obviously a match of here's like six or seven spots to make you look fucking awesome. Just don't fuck those up. And it worked. I mean, that moonsault off the top rope and then the straight vert back on there for the superplex, that was just cool. If there was a live audience there, they would have fucking blown up. And it was so good. And the best part about it was the story that we saw build up, where they both jawed each other, they both really didn't like each other. So the little things, like Cole doing the little kick feint and be like, you know, real close, almost had you, you know, like if I cared, if I wanted to, you'd be down right now. Like, that was good. And Cole showed how good of a wrestler he is by taking the guy who was like, here's six or seven spots for you not to fuck up, I'll fill in the blanks. And he filled in those blanks beautifully. And like the big fucking swanton spot into the schmoz pile, that actually worked because the way camera kind of was positioned, McAfee disappeared. And it wasn't until he was back up on the top rope that you kind of realize, oh fuck, there he is. And he just comes down and crashes into all of them. And it was really well done. It was fun as shit. I'm like, it wasn't like a wonderful wrestling match, because like I said, it was six or seven spots and Cole filled out the rest, but it was fun as fuck. I was sports entertained. That was good shit, and I could definitely go for another Pat McAfee match.
It's really hard for me to moderate and not jump in, obviously, right? But at the same time, y'all encourage me. But right now, I want to ask a question to both of you, and I literally want both of your responses to this, and I want you to book it. What do you do next with Pat McAfee?
Depends on what he wants to do.
If you're WWE, what do you want him to do? Like, as a fan, what do you want him to do? Because this can't be it for him. It was way too good. And in the words of Kenny Killer, you know this dude has been a fan forever, and his mic skills are amazing.
War Games. The four guys he had with him that had his back versus the Undisputed Era, War Games. And everybody in Undisputed Era are great workers. Mm-hmm. So with a little bit of training, the other three guys, it could be a passable match. And the feud already writes itself, obviously. So yeah, that's what I want. War Games. The four football players he had with him versus Undisputed Era.
Yeah, I'm actually going to take it the angle that they kind of dropped the little bit of hint on TakeOver, where apparently Baron Corbin and him were former roomies when they were both on the Colts for like, you know, half a sandwich, because Corbin was only during like preseason, offseason stuff, and then he got practice squatted or cut or however that works. Corbin is not likable, and that's beautiful, because McAfee, his gimmick is he's not likable, he just likes to talk shit. So if Corbin gets himself into a situation where he needs a tag partner and nobody wants to help him out, I would love to see McAfee show up, because the mic skills, his vibrato, his charisma, it just everything. Like, he's just, or bravado, not vibrato. But it's perfect for main roster. It's perfect for NXT. I would love to see him maybe pair up with Corbin, especially because McAfee's is a better talker than Corbin. So that could maybe make a Corbin situation and angle more tolerable, because in the eyes of the vocal Twitter universe, the IWC, Corbin's still not very over. Yes, he understands the heel gimmick and he understands his point, and he's pretty good at what he does. But McAfee would bring it up that extra notch, where it might actually get people to buy in a little more, and I would love to see that happen.
I could smoke a bag of that. I don't necessarily think that he's a better talker than Corbin, but I'm here for Corbin. But that's the other point that I wanted to bring up, that McAfee has played a hell of a heel this whole time, and he did the damn thing, which is why I think I rate the match a little bit higher than Andrew, because, I mean, work rate, we see great matches, you know, what, four or five times a week. We saw a great Iron Man match or Iron Woman match just last night versus with Enrico Palazzo versus what's her name?
I love how you knew you were just going to fuck fuck it up, so you just steered into it. It was Jordan Grace versus Deanna Purrazzo.
Yeah, I was about to call her Trish Parker, her shoot name. But no, it was a damn good Iron Woman match. It was.
It
worked out well. Yeah, so we see great matches every 4 or 5 days. But the fact that McAfee, just the talk, because that's what I'm into, man, because that's how you make the money, is by talking them into the arena or talking them into the gym or whatever the case may be. Mm-hmm. And he backed it up in the ring. Yeah, so I'm going to rate this a little bit higher than Balls. I think I'm going to give this 4.5 snowflakes, if you
Jesus
will.
Jesus Christ. That fucking wow. I gave it like 3.25 just because like it was good, but you knew he was still inexperienced and Cole did most of the dot connecting. But no, I'm not going to argue that because I was entertained. If your entertainment level was higher, good. It was a fun match. It was good stuff. Mm-hmm. I'm not going to bitch about, points and shit like that. That's dumb. But like, I agree. It was a great match. McAfee. We don't ever really argue ratings until you want to do it that one time where you're just like, you're this one.
No, because you be on some bullshit sometime. We haven't done it in a while, but you be on some bullshit sometime with your ratings, with your rating metrics.
And, it's all subjective, even as objective as I try to be. But, if you're
subjective. Okay, cool.
Objective is kind of what you wanted to scoff at. Yeah, I got you. Yeah, it wasn't in the Tokyo Dome. There wasn't an Asian person. Nope, 3 stars. Sorry.
Exactly. At best.
Fuck off.
All right, Andrew's dying over there. We got to get to it. Here we go.
TheChairShot.com. Always use your head.
Just when they think they got the answers, I change the questions.
Ladies and gentlemen, it's been a very WWE-centric podcast today. Lots of things going on over there. Let's move across the other side of the world and talk a little bit about what's going on in the Jingu Baseball Stadium. 5 titles up for grabs, Andrew. New Japan is really putting on a show that people are interested in.
I can literally see his boner all the way in Atlanta, BTW.
Good for Andrew. Good for Andrew. Ladies,
I know. I was about to say, that's impressive.
He's in Jersey.
Stick note.
You can get a hold of him. Slide into his DMs at IWC War Chief right there on the Twitter.
Yeah, nothing gets the old libido up and running like a bunch of sweaty Japanese men. But go on, Andrew. Do you think?
Maybe no tiny Chinese apply if you can see it all the way from Atlanta.
Not that there's anything wrong with that.
Hot as water, tiny
giant. And I said, not that there's anything wrong
tiny
with
giant.
That.
There's nothing wrong with that. That makes me feel even better about myself, but that's not the... Anyway, wow, we're really off topic.
Hey, man, you should be proud to be who you are, man. It's okay. We're going to love you either way.
Hey, you know,
you are who you are.
And the best part is they're going to probably be even sweatier Asian men because it's an outside in a baseball stadium for the first time in 21 years. So, I mean, come on.
So not only are they going to be sweaty, they're going to be smelling like outside. That's the type of thing that turns you on?
They could smell like baseball. What's the more American like, baseball in Japan?
They're going to smell like rust.
Just think about what I said.
They're going to smell rusty.
Is this Impact? Are you talking about Wrestle House? You got some of that ring rust that Lawrence D has? You got some of that ring rust to put on your body because it's what a real man smells like?
I finally saw that, by the way.
No, let's go into that for a second, yeah.
Yeah. Okay, all right, like it's totally ridiculous and it's totally WTF, but okay, I'm here for it,
because Impact has done the campy Buffy the Vampire Slayer parody. I mean, they fucking killed off Allie literally because she went to hell to go save Rosemary, so Impact has crossed that line a while ago, and this campy Big Brother bullshit is actually fantastic.
Yeah, I'm here for it. And Tommy Dreamer is kind of like the leader of the crew and whatnot. Like, okay, yeah, I'm here for it.
And I love how Alicia Edwards is actually entertaining during this, because she just steers really hard into that stupid Boston thing, where she reminds me so much of Tammy Lynn from the Ted movies. Like, the last episode where they're in Chattanooga, Tennessee, apparently, but she calls it Shagatoga. And it's just... And then even Dreamer's just like, I don't ever know what you're talking about. Like, you're fucking dumb.
And how about how Taya was acting like she was drunk as fuck during the whole thing? That popped me, I'm not gonna lie.
It was good. And I like this little turn in Rosemary's character. But all right, so Impact, we talked about that because Tunney walked away. And now back on to New Japan, which Tunney still doesn't care about, but at least he's not going to be visibly vomiting. So first time in 21 years that they're in Jingu Stadium. Last time they were in Jingu, Muta and Atsushi Onita had a exploding barbed wire death match, and Liger was on the card and Inoki was on the card. So this kind of brings it back to, there's a lot of history and it's been a while. But for what we've got coming on the 29th, we have Shingo Takagi against Minoru Suzuki. So that's going to be a hard-hitting, someone might die kind of match for the NEVER title. Naito gets his rematch against Evil. We see Ibushi and Tanahashi get their tag title rematch against Taichi and Sabre. Then we get the junior match with Hiromu versus Ishimori. And we also get the fatal four-way finale of this King of Pro Wrestling concept that New Japan and Okada came up with that I know you weren't really a big fan of. And I don't know how to make the match. I don't really know how to sell the match as really being so entertaining, because it's Okada, Sanada, Desperado, and Toru Yano. So you've got two guys who
So it's Okada. I mean, it's Sanada, Okada, Desperado, and Sanada.
Yano. I got where you're going with it, but. Yano is the Sublime Master Thief, as we all know. He just fucks around and tries to roll people up and hit him in the dick or do something dumb. Despy, he's the heel, so he's gonna try to, like, you know, do something. Sanada and Okada look like $1 million, so they're probably the front runners for winning this. I'm really curious how that match is gonna play out, because that's four people in a legitimate normal four way that I didn't really expect. So. Out of all of my interest, Naito and Evil is, of course, up there. The Shingo Takagi versus Suzuki match, that's going to be a banger. Someone literally might not be able to move afterwards. And I'm just kind of curious what the fuck is going to go on with that four-way, honestly.
So, number one, clearly that joke wasn't as funny as I thought it was. And number two, aren't the best four-ways the ones that you don't expect?
I'm just saying.
You're here.
Now, I get what you're getting at, too. But I think we've insulted the female demographic enough tonight, or Patton Oswalt, so whoever takes that one. But, you know, let's steer away from there and talk about wrestling for a half second.
College was fun, man. I don't know what you want from me.
I went to 3 out of 4. That's how that works. I said I've done 3, not 4. I was the Oreo cookie. I was the filling, if you get my drift.
I certainly get your drift, and I wish I didn't, because that's a... horrifying visual, but good for you though.
thanks buddy. Anyway, wrestling, New Japan, anything there strike you?
Yeah, I got nothing. No disrespect to New Japan, man. It's so much going on in the wrestling world, man. I couldn't care less
when it comes to other shit too, so I wasn't sure if maybe you're a big fan of Naito. I wasn't sure if you think he's got a shot at a rematch, and Ibushi and Tanahashi on the same team, that's gotta do something for your Tokyo 3K kind of mentality.
So can we talk about how I just recently saw a picture of Ibushi and this melon farmer looks jacked?
Dude, he's always been like jacked and shredded. He's
always been shredded, but now he looks jacked. Do you understand the difference?
No, I understand the difference. And honestly, I don't think he's too much bigger, but it depends on what pictures you're looking at. It could be. He might have put on a little more weight. But he's kind of always looked the same, and he's just been fucking sculpted.
Well, so let me ask you this then. Do you think that this is where they end that experiment with Evil as the dual champion, and they put the belts back on Naito and then kind of rewrite the course?
I'm going to say no, only because of the fact that Jay White has been kind of tweeting out 829 and just kind of dropping hints. So to me, that could be Jay White's going to get involved, and maybe he's going to make sure Naito doesn't win, and then he might, maybe he'll challenge Evil, and then we'll see a little bit of a leadership kind of tug of war, and he just wants the double championships.
White people always got to fuck up shit for people of color.
Wow. He's from New Zealand. At least you can't really blame that on Americans for a change.
All y'all, what y'all got? Y'all got America, y'all got Europe, and you got Australia, a.k.a. New Zealand. That's about it.
I like how you just clump those together. Australia and New Zealand are both very insulted right now.
Yeah, they'll be all right.
Wow!
Throw another shrimp on the Bobby, baby. They'll be all right.
Wow.
Yeah, yeah, I went there.
Pot is war. Fuck you, Whitey.
Yeah, apparently. Between Luka Doncic and now this? What the fuck, man?
Whoa,
come
whoa,
on.
Whoa. Not you guys. You're cool.
Okay.
Yeah, you're cool.
Yeah, fuck you. Fuck you. You're cool. Fuck
you're
you.
Cool.
No, but yeah, I think this is finally when you get White back involved because...
Yeah, when they never not.
Oh, crikey. You walked right into it, Drew. You walked right into it. It's like, you're like Sideshow Bob and the fucking rake. You walked right into the motherfucker. You got a goddamn rake on your fucking forehead right there.
Yeah. White and equal involved in the same thing. So it just writes itself, doesn't
wow.
it?
Wow.
Yeah, you're not helping your
the
cause right
Simpsons.
Now.
Here comes Sideshow Bob walking right into the ring.
Awkward now. Jay White, I'm going to have to call him something else. I'm just going to call him Switchblade from now on. Fuck that. I'm not calling him by his real name. Fuck that shit.
So. Real quick though, man, for the two fans that are listening to this, man, that are into New Japan, how can they watch this? They probably did, but how can they watch this show this weekend?
NewJapanWorld.com, because that's where they stream all of their content, be it their Road 2, their actual bigger events, and of course also New Japan Strong, which hasn't been extremely strong in their first three episodes. New Japan Strong, for anybody who hasn't seen it, is the exact same way that New Japan does like an American show when they don't make sure Tanahashi or Okada or Ibushi are on it. It's a whole bunch of white people. It looks like ROH and nobody really gives a fuck. Kenta just happens to be on it because he still lives in Florida.
So a bunch of pasty white dudes with no chest out there doing flippy shit.
Yeah. Mm. And Kenta, because like I said, he still lives in Florida.
So, oh man. So are they letting fans back in the arenas yet?
In Japan, yes. In their American show, no.
Okay. So how's that work? Have you seen shows with fans in them, and are they social distancing? Like how does it work? Just kind of explain that to us before we get up out of here.
They have been since Dominion, or the finals for the cup, so the day before Dominion, where it's about 25, maybe somewhere between 25-50% capacity. There's two seats or 6 feet between everybody. Everybody's got on masks. They stagger the entrances, so they kind of let you enter the building based off of your seating section, and don't let you kind of show up until a certain time. So like section A would be you seat between 2 and 2:15. Then section B would be 2:20 and 2:30, whatever, that kind of thing. So they try to keep everybody spaced out, even ticket taking. So it's a lot, and everybody I think takes their temperature ahead of time, and they take a lot of wonderful precautions that Americans would not be okay with because we're in
Americans.
American, yeah. So fuck. But yeah, Japan is doing it right. That's why they have people back in their shows.
So does it help the ambiance of the shows at all? Can you tell?
New Japan needed it because too many of their wrestlers play to the crowd, more or less as part of their gimmick. And when the New Japan shows didn't have fans, and even other, like All Japan, Noah, a bunch of them, when there's space in the match, you know that's when the fans are supposed to react. Like when they do the very Japanese thing of counter, hold, hold, roll out of the way, miss a move, miss a move, miss a move, get up and stare at each other for a second. They're supposed to be clapping. So when they stop for a second and stare at each other, when there's no people and no clapping, you're just like, all right, do something. Do stuff. Stop putting that beat in there, because we don't need that beat to understand the move, and we don't need that beat to react. Just fucking get on with the match. So, yeah, having fans there to at least react is nice.
So, and I'm assuming you're going to be covering this show for thechairshot.com. Is that correct?
Yes, very much so, yes.
And shout out to white people, man. You know, I fucks with y'all, but I mean, quite frankly, you're the only group of people that I can still fuck with and make fun of and not get canceled. It's y'all and the dwarves, so you just got to take it. It's kind of like if you're tall and the short guy comes around and he got to take some short jokes, or he makes fun of you, you beanpole motherfucker. You just got to kind of rock with it, man. You just got to rock with it.
And like how that's just like, you're white, you're the only thing we can make fun of anymore. Everything else is a hate crime or you get canceled on Twitter. So yeah. That's fantastic.
Yeah. And shout out to the dwarves, man. It's all love. It's all love, man. I just be talking shit.
Yeah, fuck the elves, though. I prefer dwarves over elves.
What are you talking about, man? Elves are Christmas, man. Christmas is great. It's a joyous time of the year, unless you're in retail.
So, fuck the elves?
Anywho, any other thoughts in this weird, wacky, wonderful world of wrestling that we didn't cover that somebody just feels the need to get off their chest?
Not really, I'm good. We've talked about quite a bit, and it wasn't always on topic. We went into some interesting waters. Tony, yeah, is there anything you want to say today that you weren't going to say on DWI or foreshadow? Maybe Tony extra thoughts? Tony after dark? Tony after a couple more beers? Whatever?
I'm good till we get to the closing.
Oh, boy.
All right, cool. Hey, man, shout out to Pat McAfee. Shout out to Dominic Mysterio. Y'all and had Pat great Oswald. Debuts. And who?
Pat Oswald.
And Patton Oswalt. Shout out to Patton Oswalt, man. Thanks for being a good sport in all of this, man. I really do think you're funny, man. Yeah, and you seem like a cool dude.
We're going to assume you're a good sport.
Yeah, we're going to assume you're a good sport, sir. And shout out to just wrestling in general, man. I feel as if wrestling had a really good week, man. I enjoyed TakeOver. I enjoyed SummerSlam. I enjoyed Raw. SmackDown last Friday wasn't too bad. Wrestling, it was a good week, man. I even enjoyed Impact. NXT tonight, yeah. But next week they're building to something big, and I'm sure we'll get to that. But yeah, so I guess that's all I really got to say. Mr. Blaz, why don't you let the good folks know where they can find you, sir?
You can find me on the Twitter at IWC Warchief, and doing New Japan reviews and Impact reviews, and maybe a couple opinion pieces here or there on thechairshot.com. Chris?
Like the Eddie Edwards versus RVD match.
For more than just Katie Forbes twerking, right?
For more than just Katie Forbes twerking. But that's that's a hot act, her and RVD. That's a hot act.
It's a good gimmick. I do agree.
Yeah. Hey, man, y'all can find me on Twitter at The Real C Platt. I'm all over Chairshot, man. All you got to do is type in my name. I'm sure I'll come up at something or at some point. Three Man Weave. New episode coming out next Monday. I'm sure we're gonna have a lot to talk about, so make sure you all tuning into that. And then I was just trying to play it off because I slurred my words a little bit, so I was trying to play it off by the but more importantly, make sure y'all go to ProWrestlingTees.com. You can edit that out, but make sure y'all go to ProWrestlingTees.com/thechairshot and pick up an official Chairshot t-shirt. Again, I say it week in and week out, if you enjoy the content we provide here for you at the Chairshot, both audio and written word, because some people still read, the best way to make sure that we keep providing that content is by going to ProWrestlingTees.com/thechairshot and pick up an official Chairshot t-shirt, because much like PBS, we depend on listeners and readers like you. TheChairShot.com. It's not just a website, it's a movement. Commissioner?
I live in Southeast Wisconsin, and I'm not going to not say anything about what's going on right now. If you... I'm a white male, and I live in Southeast Wisconsin. If you're a white person, and you do not understand what's going on, talk to somebody. Ask questions. Figure it out. Things need to change. Regardless of how you feel and how things are in your neighborhood, I just encourage change, because these kind of things can't happen. Regardless of what you see or what you hear and how you think, you need to understand what's going on. And the only way to do that is to ask questions and be supportive, because I'm telling you right now, what's happening isn't right, and more understanding needs to be had. Black lives matter, and we need equality in this country. You can follow me at PC Tunney.
Hey, man, that's well said, man. And frankly, I appreciate you saying that, because it means more from you saying that than it does me, which kind of speaks to what it was you were trying to say. But no, seriously, man, thank you for that. And I'll have a lot of fun at you all's expense, man, because of your whiteness. But I just want y'all to know, and this is a shoot, I love both of y'all, and we just be on here having fun, man. We're just friends hanging out, having some drinks, man, talking shit about wrestling. But I'm glad that you said that, and I appreciate that you said that, and I thank you for saying that. So that being said, for Mr. Andrew Belaz, for the Commissioner PC Tunney, I'm Mr. Velvet Pipes Christopher Platt. We appreciate you all tuning in to the latest edition of Pot is War. I promise we'll be better next week, even though we probably won't. But we will see you back here next week. Same Platt time, same Platt channel. Until then, to the whole country, man, shalom. And I don't even know if y'all know what that means, but it means peace. That's why I say it. Shalom. On a lighter note, when y'all go get on this air fryer game?
I just recently talked to someone that got an air fryer, and I said you should have got a pizza oven.
Well, depending on the air fryer that you get, it will serve dually as a pizza oven. What I have does.
Not everybody's got Christopher Platt money.